Hallelujah. Y'all better give God some glory, some praise in this place. Y'all better give God some glory. You should be shouting around your house and worshiping. I don't know about you, but I was back here worshiping and thanking God as we sung, I love you, Jesus, more than anything. And I began to think about the goodness of Jesus and literally all he's done for me. And I know that's so cliche, and you probably heard that in church all your life, but when you got a real relationship with him and you think about how much he has loved you, how much he has guided you, how much he has forgave you, how many times he let you come back, how many times he dusted you off and got you back up and said, go forth my child and do my work and go and do ministry. I thank God, I thank Jesus, because when everybody can turn their back on me, everybody can leave me, but I still can rest assured that Jesus will never leave me. Father God, we thank you, oh God, for today. We thank you, oh God, for what you're about to do. We thank you, oh God, for praise and worship. We thank you for the word. We thank you, oh God, for what you are doing in somebody's life right now. Somebody's heart may be breaking. Somebody's heart may be growing dull. Somebody's heart, oh God, is in need of you, Father God. So I pray and believe this word of God is going to come forth to change and to plant seeds, oh God, of righteousness. Plant seeds of obedience. Plant seeds of deliverance, oh God. We stand on your word and we believe it right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God some glory, some hearts, some likes and all that. Amen. I'm going to give y'all about 10 seconds. If you know somebody needs a word, go ahead and tag them real quick and say, Pastor, got a word for you. It's a word today. I need y'all to follow me today. I'm going somewhere. It's a word for you today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, your phone, whatever you may be using, go to the book of 1 Samuel today. We in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Amen. I will be reading from the New Living Translation, 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to do verses 1 through 3. One day, Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people Israel. Now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven's army has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Verse 3. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Man, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camel, and donkeys. If you don't mind real quick, it's today's subject. Go ahead and comment it. The little things. Amen. The little things. Amen. If you don't mind, go ahead and drop that in the comments. The little things. The Little Things is a movie that came out in 2021 starring Denzel Washington, where he plays a police officer who was once a famed detective. They are on a hunt for a serial killer who is murdering women. And throughout the movie, they are convinced it is a character played by Jared Leto. All of the signs point to him as the killer. But the only problem is they're police, but they can't find any evidence to convict him of the killings. He's toying with them. He's making it seem like he's the killer, but then he's proclaiming his innocence and they don't have no evidence. So as Denzel was frustrated, he reassures his rookie cop partner. He said, listen here, I know it looks bad right now, but it's always the little things that will get you caught. Woo. Oh, wow. Can I suggest to you, to the people of God, and we are in this series about our hearts growing dull, I want us to be aware that it is the little things that get in our heart that will eventually turn our hearts to grow dull towards God. If I could recap real quick, just real quick. The first week, we started out quoting Isaiah, where he said, these people, they don't hear and they don't see, and their hearts have grown dull. The second week, we talked about that same scripture in Matthew where Jesus goes through and does the parable of the seed and the sower. He gives us examples of every example of why this person's heart has grown dull, whether it has fallen on a soil ground, whether the birds came and eat up the word, whatever it may be. But then he shows the good ground where the word sprung up and grew and a heart that's not dull. And then last week, we examined Samson's life. We saw how you could be anointed and appointed, but if you continue to let sin creep in your life, watch this, it eventually numb you to the effects. Come on. This week, we're going to talk about Israel's first king, which was King Saul. Uh-huh. See, before I come, we in chapter 15. I got to back up a little bit. I don't have time to go over everything. So I encourage you to pick up your Bible and read your Bible, because it starts in about 1 Samuel chapter 9 is where it starts. But I got to bring you up to speed a little bit, because Israel is in an interesting point in their history. They were free from Egyptian bondage. They were done with Egypt when Moses led them out of the Exodus. Then they conquered the promised land with Joshua. Joshua led them to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Then they conquered that. Then they go on to judge, where we were last week with Samson in the book of Judges, where it was no leader, really. A judge would rise up, judge for about 20 years. They'd be gone. And then Israel kept falling back into bondage because they kept falling in love with sin. So God's enemies would overtake them. Then another judge would raise up and free them. So now we get to this point in 1 Samuel. I don't know what's going on. Now they want a king. Israel didn't have a king to this point. And Samuel warned them about having a king. He said, look here, God is our king. We don't need to be like these other nations that sit a man up on high. God is our king. God warned us, if we have a king, what's going to happen? He's going to make us pay taxes to make sure he's good and taken care of. If you get a king, he's going to take your young men and draft them for war when it's time to fight. If you get a king, watch this. If he's evil, then guess what? He's going to put evil upon the whole nation, because the wicked king is the leader. If the king is wicked, then some wickedness is going to come to the nation. He's like, y'all sure y'all want a king? Because that ain't what God wants. But the people begged and begged for a king, so God gave them what they asked for. Woo, that's a point right there. It wasn't even in my notes. But be careful what you ask for. Amen. Be careful what you ask for when you beg and beg God for it so bad, and he finally gives it to you, and it ain't what you thought it was. Amen. That's for somebody right there. But the people, so some of them accept Saul as king. Saul was a tall brother, strong brother. Everybody was kind of short, tall. Saul was a taller. He stood out amongst the people, so they picked Saul. He looked good, and God told Samuel, anoint Saul as king. He's the one that's going to be the first king of Israel. So some people was with it, and some people wasn't. So Saul decides to go up and fight the Ammonites, and he delivers Israel from the Ammonites. And when he does that, that kind of brings some unification. Everybody's like, okay, this is cool. This is the guy we want as king. He has delivered us, right? So then the Spirit of God comes upon Saul. He begins to prophesy and speak in the name of the Lord. So now we see God with Saul. He's been anointed to be king. He's prophesied. He's doing God's work. We see all this. But when we get to 1 Samuel 13, we see a shift. Somebody type in the word shift. We see a shift. We see the first little thing I want you to be aware of, watch this, is power and prestige. Woo. The first little thing I want you to be aware of, you hear me clear, is power and prestige. What do you mean, Pastor? See, he's King Saul. He was leading Israel. Watch it. He got in a jam. Look at 1 Samuel 13, 8, 9. He got into a jam while he was at war. It says, Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. That's a problem. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and bring me the peace offering. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Woo! So you hear what I said? Why is that important? Because Samuel is the prophet. Samuel is the priest. He grew up in the house of Eli. Raised him up. He's a priest. He's been a priest since he was a little boy. Samuel anointed Saul to be king. Samuel prayed to God that rain and thunder would come down, and it happened before his eyes. If Samuel said wait, then you better wait. I can't stress that, the importance of listening to the man of God. Don't forget, it was him who set you up. God used Samuel to put you in that position, to put you in that place of prestige. Who are you to overstep your boundaries? So Saul, because he has shown that God to be with him, he had been shown that he can have some of the Spirit. That doesn't mean just because God is with you and you got some of the Spirit, you can overstep your boundaries. Just because you know God a little bit doesn't mean you can overstep the order of God. Hear what I'm saying? It was Samuel's job to do that. It was Samuel's job to do the peace offering, the burnt offering. He was not ordained to do that. Be careful. You were ordained to be king. You need to be doing king stuff. I'm ordained to be a priest. Don't be over here doing priest stuff when you a king. I ain't in your castle. I ain't in your court trying to do what you got to do. No. We got to do what God taught us to do. So look at what Saul did. Now we can count up to 15. Look at this. 1 Samuel 15. Remember I told you in the first verse that we read what he said to do to the Amalekites in 1 and 3. Look at this. 1 Samuel 8 and 9. he captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else.
Wow.
Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything, in fact, that appealed to them.
Come on.
They destroyed only what was worthless or poor of quality. Wow.
Come on.
The next little thing, we got to be careful. Watch this. The devil is in the details. Woo.
Come on.
I don't know if you ever heard that. It's used most time in a positive sense, that the devil is in the details. That when you don't follow the details, watch this, that's when the devil comes in and you don't get the results you were looking for. Watch this, because you skipped the detail. Look at this, a PG quotable right here. Scott gave me this. Some of the most polarizing damage in our life is often tied to our lack of paying attention to detail. Woo. God dropped that on my spirit. That you think about some of the most polarizing damage in your life, some of the things that hurt your life so bad, some of the things that messed you up so bad, if you could go back and look at it and say, the reason it jacked me up really was not because of them, it was because of me sometimes, because I didn't pay attention to detail. I'm telling you, this word hit Pastor hard this week in the heart, so he gave it to me to give it to you like this, because it's easy to become a Saul, watch this, because of our parents when they love us so much and cater to us. It's easy to become a Saul, watch this, if I got a loved one that has catered to me and made me feel special my whole life and let me get away with stuff when I should have got my butt whooped. It's easy to become a Saul, watch this, when I got a significant other that does everything for me and I ain't got to do nothing for them. It's easy to become a Saul, watch this, or if I want my own desire so bad and it's about me all the time and what I want. It's easy to become a Saul and not pay attention to details. Watch this, God doesn't work like that. The lack of paying attention to detail, it costs.
Woo.
What do you mean, Pastor? How do you know? I got Bible for this, baby. How do you know it costs? The lack of paying attention to detail to cost. I'm going to prove it. Adam and Eve lived in the garden. God said, you can have every tree around here, but don't touch this tree. This tree mine. They decided to touch the tree that God said they couldn't have. Not paying attention to detail got them kicked out of the garden. Come on. Gomorrah came and Lot's wife, and they said, it's time to escape. It's time to leave. Run and don't turn back. That's what the angel told Lot's wife and his family. Everybody ran and never looked again. And Lot's wife turned back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. She didn't pay attention to detail, and it cost her. Moses, he was told to speak to the rock, not to hit it. This time, God said, I want water to come from the rock, but I want you to speak to it and not hit it. Moses was so mad at the church people getting on his nerves, nagging and complaining and lack of faith. He hit the rock in frustration. Water still came from the rock because God said it was going to come, but Moses did not get to enter into the promised land for his lack of paying attention to detail. If I want to tell you anything, my brothers and sisters, we've seen time and time in scripture and time again that it is the lack of detail that costs us a lot more than we are willing to pay sometimes.
Come on.
Whew.
Come on.
So the question, we look at this text because God is like, look here, I need you to kill everything. Man, women, children, baby, sheep, goat, donkey. Why is God so upset? Why does God want to destroy all of these people and kill everything? Is a question I bet you wonder, because God's full of love and mercy, the God we know. But God don't play neither. We got to understand that. See, we got to go back. That's why reading your Bible is important. In Exodus 17, when Moses was leading the people of Israel, trying to get to the promised land, they were going through the wilderness. They were kind of tired and weary. And Amalekites out of nowhere came and attacked them and killed a lot of God's people for no reason. They just came and said, look here, we're going to attack y'all. We're going to kill from y'all. We're going to kill women and children. We're not going to show no mercy. We're going to get all the ones that's lagging behind. In Exodus 17:8, go read it for yourself. So Moses said, look, Joshua, we got to go to war. Go to war. Maybe you know this story that Aaron and Hur hold up his arms on the mountain. And as long as they held up Moses' arms, the victory was coming. But as soon as Moses' arms went down, the enemy began to overtake them. That's the word for somebody right there. I dare you, when you win a battle, watch this, to lift up both of your hands. I dare you, when you win a battle, keep your hands lifted, keep your head lifted to the hill from which come your help. Like Moses kept his hands lifted.
lifted, and they proclaim and had victory. There's something about the lifting up my hands that surrender to God, showing God that He is the way, He is the one. I love that. So they've been at war with them. So now they're about to get to the promised land again. In Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 through 19, they get mentioned again. Matter of fact, God told Moses this: never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came up out of Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary and struck down all those who were left behind. You must destroy the Amalekites, watch this, and erase their memory from under heaven. Never forget this. So God was upset with them because they hurt and killed His people. So God said, look here, I'm going to get vengeance on them in my appointed time. So Saul, watch this, spared King Agag, right? Anything that was deemed good, he kept. But anything that was deemed poor, bad quality, or worthless, he threw away. Who made Saul the king of over what God said? He chose what was good and what was bad. But God said, get rid of everything. Who put him in position to choose what's good and bad? Because I find out we do the same thing in our life. We look at that person and say, that person's good and that person's bad. Who put us in that position when God knows only what God deems is good and what God deems is bad? Because I come to find out the people that you think are the most hell-raisers, God will get a hold of them and save them and bring them into His church and do a mighty work. And the people that have been in church their whole life but got hate in their heart and got unforgiveness in their heart and ain't trying to learn, ain't trying to grow, ain't trying to do ministry, ain't trying to evangelize, still sitting there and be the ones you think going to heaven and won't be there. So be careful. Who are we to deem what is good and bad? Our job is to live right before Him, and if anybody wants it, we got to give it to them. If anybody want to be saved, we got to make sure we showing them the way. Anybody that want to grow, we got to make ourselves available for them to grow. Amen. So we let God sort out the mess. But Saul says, no, I know what's good and I know what's bad.
Wow. Say that.
So Samuel, God came to Samuel, y'all. I'm going through the story. God came to Samuel at night. Let's look at what God said. He said, I'm so sorry that I even made Saul king. He said, he ain't been loyal to me. He ain't followed my commandments. And the Bible says Samuel was so deeply moved by it that he cried out to God all night for Saul. It hurt him because he was the king and he knew that. But what tripped me out is, look how upset God is about Saul being king, because he didn't follow his commandments and he wasn't loyal. Is that even something we honestly even think about?
Wow.
When is the last time we thought about the way we was living made God upset? When is the last time we thought about our sins making God upset? Or do we even think about it? Or do we just think, God will forgive me? He'll do it. No. God, we have hearts. We know our hearts control our emotions and all this. So hearts, who created hearts? God. God created hearts. He understands how they work. So if He understands how they work, why we think His heart can't get broken? Why we think things don't hurt His heart? Amen. I know He is spirit, but He created hearts. Why don't we think we can't hurt His heart? God is upset that He even made him king. Amen.
Wow.
Then Samuel prayed all night. Everybody need a friend like Samuel. Amen. Everybody, I need some Samuels in my life. Whoever a Samuel in my life, please keep praying for me. Continue to pray for me and lift God up. And I want to be a Samuel to somebody else that I can pray for you and call out God's name for you. I love this, because even though God was upset with him, he said, that's God's business. I still got to intercede for him. Woo!
Wow.
I know God upset with the boy right now. I know he tripping. I know he ain't been loyal. But my job is to pray. I'm still going to pray for him. And God going to sort out the rest. But my job is to pray. I love this. He said, I'm not going to stop praying, even though you've broken God's heart and literally mine too, because I anointed you to be king. So Samuel wakes up early in the morning to go see Saul. Y'all look at here. 1 Samuel 15, 13 and 4. Look at this. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. He said, may the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. This is what is all this bleating of sheep and goats and lowing of cattle I hear Samuel demanding. Woo!
Come on.
So he walks up, Saul happy. Hey, praise the Lord, my brother. How you doing today? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I obey God to the fullest. I hope you see it. And Samuel said, okay, if you obey him, why do I hear sheep and goats? Why do I hear lamb? Why do I hear cattle bleating in my ear?
Wow.
Hear me, people of God. You can get so far from God, watch this, you can't even detect your defect. Preach, PG. I'm doing the best I can. I promise I am. You can get so far away from God and so caught up in your sin and so arrogant in your sin that you can't even detect your defects. Amen. That you got a problem and you can't even see it. You got a problem and you can't even acknowledge it. You are living your life in a lie and you swear up and down it's true. He really believed he obeyed the voice of the Lord. Samuel tripping. How did you obey when I hear all these animals? How did you obey when I see all this livestock around here? So it gets messed up. So look at the Saul. I'm telling you about Saul. So Saul says, look here, it's true. The army spared the best of the sheep and the goats of the cattle. The army did that. But they going to sacrifice it to the Lord your God. We destroyed everything else. It was the army that did that. But guess what? I know they kept it. They didn't follow all the way, but we still going to sacrifice it to God. So then Samuel said, look here, I got to let you know what God told you. You want to know what God told me last night? Because I was see, you don't even know what God said to me. You so caught up in what you're doing. God been speaking to me about you. Woo! And he said, look here, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what God told me last night. Do you want to know? He like, tell me. Come on, come on. He said, look here, although you may think of yourself to be little, are you not the leader of the tribe of Israel? Has the Lord not anointed you to be king? Woo! You are the leader and you are the, you've been anointed to be king. So then he said, the Lord sent you on a mission, bro. He told you to go out there to completely destroy all the Amalekites, destroy the sinners until they are all dead because of what they did to Israel. You're the leader of Israel, and these are the people that attacked and hurt Israel, and God told you to get rid of them, and you didn't follow that. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord's voice? Why did you rush for the plunder to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? So we got to get to a place in our life where we understand it's not just about us. It's about what we are doing. And is it evil in the sight of the Lord? Not in the sight of man, because they seen good sheep. They seen good cattle. They seen good donkey. They seen some good stuff, some good gold. And they thought that was good, but it still was evil in the sight of the Lord because the Lord commanded them to do something else with it. Woo.
Come on. Yeah.
Look at this. 1 Samuel 15 and 20, y'all. But I did obey the Lord, Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else.
Wow.
He still can't detect his defect.
Wow.
You ever know somebody that lies so much that they believe they gonna lie? that they continue to lie, and you know they lying, and they is so enwrapped in their life, they have tricked their mind. I don't know what switch they turn on, but say, yep, this happened. I said it happened. I know it happened, even though it didn't happen, but I know it happened. And that's where Saul, he's the king. He is the leader. He said, look, I did obey God. I bought back Agag, and I killed everyone else. God told me to tell somebody this. Half obedience is still disobedience. Amen. Halfway is still disobedience. Then we got to be all in. We got to put all in. All chips in. We got to put it all in for God. We got to roll hard for God. We got to do what God has called us to do and not hold back. And then he goes on to say, look at this. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep and the goats and the cattle and the plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Woo! So he said, yeah, he takes his part. Yeah, I bought back the king, but I killed everybody else. Yeah. But then my troops brought all this other stuff, so we just going to sacrifice it to God. I want you to see this and understand Saul's a weak leader.
Come on.
Yeah, he's a weak leader. Why am I saying it? Because Moses was with the children of Israel, and they began to complain and murmur against God. They began to complain and nag and have no faith. And God said, you know what? I'm about sick of this. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of them all, raise you up a new generation. Moses, you're going to be the leader. You're going to lead these people right. He says, no, God, have mercy on the people of God. Please don't do that. Your name's too great. Don't do that. Watch out for the people. Please, God, we'll get them in order. See, God was probably testing Moses' heart to see if he would intercede on the people. He said, they my responsibility. I'm the leader, so I got to do everything in my power to get them on track. Everything in my power, oh God. And Saul is saying, nope, it's the people's fault. But who gave them the instruction?
Wow.
You ever played the game telephone when you was a kid? That starts off with one thing and it's instructions, and then by the time it gets to the end of the line, is something totally different than what was said. About five more items get added on, a couple of ands, a couple of buts, some stuff that is just wild and unimaginable get added on, right? So Samuel said, look here, I got the word from God. I gave it to you. You are the leader. You're supposed to make sure your troops are in order. You're supposed to make sure your troops understand. And you, but when you decided, watch this, to bring back Agag, woo. When you decided not to kill everyone, you left the door open for them to do what they did. You the leader. When you decided not to follow directions, don't get mad at them when they not follow directions. I'm trying to help somebody today, amen. When you decide to do whatever you want to do, don't get mad because people in your household now acting crazy. When you decide to do whatever you want to do, don't get mad when your children ain't lining up. When you decided to do whatever you want to do, don't get mad when chaos is around you and everything's going crazy, because we decided to do whatever we decided to do. Lord, have mercy on us for doing whatever we wanted to do. Oh God, have mercy and forgive us in this day for help somebody to line up in the name of Jesus. Woo. He saved the best of everything. But God didn't want anything from the people that were hurting his people. God didn't want anything from the people that were killing his people. God didn't want anything from the people that had destroyed his people. So that puts me in the mind frame. Watch this. I gotta be careful what I receive from. Because everything ain't meant for me. Everything ain't good. Just because it look like a diamond and shine like a diamond don't mean it's diamond. Because it look like gold don't mean it's gold. Amen. It's not 24 karat, it's 24 apples. You gotta be careful and understand that God didn't want nothing they had to offer because they were known for hurting his people. Be careful. Look at this. I'm almost done, y'all. 1 Samuel 15 and 23. This is Samuel talking to Saul. Rebellion is as the sin as witchcraft. Come on, wow. And stubbornness, as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Woo. Come on, wow. Look at what he told him, y'all. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I come to help somebody today because you ain't got to have no broom to go flound. You ain't got to have no brew. You ain't got to have no magic spells and potions. No, no, no. The Bible says when we are walking in rebellion, we just as a witch. Did you catch that? Because what a witch is basically somebody that says, I'm going to conjure up everything I want for my life and do it my way. I don't want God's help and I don't need God's help. I'm going to do it my way. So he said, when we decide to walk in rebellion and say, God, no, I'm not forgiving him. God, no, I'm not praying. God, no, I'm not reading. I'm not worshiping. I do what I want to do and how I want to do it. I come to you when I want to. When I need you, I take you. When I don't, I won't. When we decide to do all that and walk in rebellion, God looks at us and says, that's a witch. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, have mercy on God. Then he says, stubbornness. Come on, stubborn people. Come on. We all got some stubbornness in us we got to work on. He said, it's as bad as worshiping idols. Wow. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, God has rejected you as king. He's been rejected from his kingship. But understand this. Come on, I want you to catch this. Saul still reigned for 42 years. Come on. But that day he was rejected. Come on. He still reigned for 42 years. Woo! So Saul finally recognized his sin. He said, you know what? Forgive me. Are you right? I didn't obey the voice of the Lord. It took the rejection to lead him to repent. Woo! Wow. Don't let it take the rejection to get you to repentance. Woo! That's a word for somebody right there. So Saul finally recognizes his sins. He kills Agag. He destroys the rest of the livestock. And then he begs Samuel, come out with me one more time and honor me before the people. Samuel didn't want to roll with him. He was pulling his clothes. He said, Samuel, please come out and honor me with the people. And Samuel pulled away from him and tore his clothes. And he said, today, God has torn Israel from you. Wow. The rejection started that day. Wow. Woo! The rejection started that day. So they go out, and Samuel goes ahead and walks with them to worship the Lord one last time before the people. And the people have no idea what's going on. Wow. He King Saul. So he's sitting there with Samuel, with the prophet and the priest. Hear me this, and I'm about to be done. As I want you to understand how deep these little things are. He goes out with Samuel, the prophet. He's the king before the people to worship God. And though he still has the title, he don't have the anointing.
Ooh, goodness, my
goodness. Nobody know he's been rejected. The people think everything is gravy. He has the title, but no longer carries the anointing. I don't care what happens in my life, Lord. I want the anointing over everything. I don't never want you to reject me. I never want you to leave me. I gotta have you. I don't care how high you take me or how low I gotta stay. I gotta have you, oh God. So we read the Bible, we know Saul was plagued with a miserable spirit from that day forth. A miserable spirit would take over Saul. He would be out of control. And in the midst of everything, I know it sounds like this is all doom and gloom, Pastor. Where is the good in this? Because he didn't do the little thing. Everything ain't always, it need to be some doom and gloom to understand that we got some issues that we need to fix in our life. Amen. But I can't leave you there hanging, because even though Saul had lost everything, God still spoke to Samuel and said, get up and go to Jesse's house. My next king is there, amen. And we all know that Jesse's son was David, who was anointed as king, who was known as a man after God's own heart. All I gotta say is this: you better continue to live right and not let the little things creep into your heart. It is that little thing that will continue to tear you down. It is that little thing, it is that Achilles heel, that small little thing that will take you down and break you. No. I gotta continue to live right for God, because someday he gonna anoint me, and someday he gonna look for the heart. He ain't gonna look who might be the cutest or who might be the brightest. He gonna look and see who got that heart that I need so I can anoint him for this next mission in life. Who got the heart that I need? And while others may have gotten rejected, we gotta make sure our heart is protected. And the only way to protect your heart is keep the little things out of it.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
David had issues. He did. But he was quick to repent. David had issues just like Saul had issues. But he continued to love God with all his heart, even in the midst of his issues. So be careful, family, because we can get so far gone we can't detect our defects. Woo! Dear Lord, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, oh God, that it's times where the word of God should be uncomfortable to us. We thank you, oh God, that your word should sharpen us, that your word should hit us and pierce us through our hearts, so we can get to a point of conviction and then to a point of change. I pray, Father God, for that soul right now that might not know you, oh God, in the pardon of their sin. If you would touch them right now, Father God, that today's message pierced their heart. And they say, God, I don't want to be rejected. I want to be protected. I don't want to be rejected. I want to be with you, oh God. Help me to surrender my life so I can be with you. If that is you, all you got to do is lift up your hands. And that's not something that you have to do, but that's just a sign of surrender. Lift up your, you be in your home right now, lifting up your hands, say, Father God, I surrender. I believe your son Jesus in his death and his burial and his resurrection. That in 3 days he rose from the grave and died for my sins. That he did it. That he carried that burden for me, Father God. Now since he did it and I believe it, Father God, I confess that you are not only my Savior, but my Lord, which means I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to follow your lead. I'm willing, oh God, to stay behind you and let you guide my life. That's all it takes. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes down. It's on us. God did the big work. Now it's on us to continue to seek him out. Continue to want more of him. Continue to let him pour in your life. Read your Bible. Commune with other believers. Get into a church. All those things are important to help keep you so God can guide you. Amen. I pray for those who are in the valley. They say, God, I want to come back home. That I've been miserable. I've been ripping and running, doing everything, oh God, that I thought I wanted to do, and I still ain't got no peace. I've been running and ripping and running. I still ain't got no joy. Yeah, I've been ripping and running, and yep, the weed was good for a minute, but that high went away. The drinking was good for a minute, but that high went away. The sex was good for a minute, but that feeling went away. I need something that's going to stay with me. I need the Holy Spirit. I don't need to be happy. I need joy, and only joy comes from Jesus. If that's you, it's another on the screen. All you got to do is text to join, and you can recommit your life to Christ today. You got a prayer request, you can text it to that number, and we can pray for you and know how to specifically pray for you in whatever season you in. But please believe me, people of God, God is calling forth his soldiers. He's calling forth his kingdom, and he says it's up to y'all to change this world. You sick of all this violence and crime? We got the answers. We got the antidote.
Yeah.
That's why he said, look here. the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. He need people that's gonna work. If that's true, you need to come out and say, God, I'm willing to work for you, God. I didn't watch this. I did enough work for the devil. I led enough people astray. I was not a good example to enough people in my life. So the rest of my life, I'm going to change that and do whatever I can to lead people to Christ.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Give God some glory. Give God some hearts. Give God a shout out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for his word. Amen. This time, I do it every week, amen, because people log on at different times. So this is, we will do offering again. There are two ways to give, so you didn't get a chance. If you remember to give your tithe earlier, or maybe you just stop it by and say, man, Lord, thank you for that word. It blessed me. You want to put some seed behind the word, amen. This is good ground, amen. So we believe it, that if you sow seed, that God's going to give you what you desire because you put some faith behind it, amen. So we are thankful for every gift, from every tithe, from every offer. We believe, God. We thankful to God for what he's done to sustain us, even through the pandemic, to continue to watch over us. Now we're in the phase ready to get to that next place to open it back up. But we thank God for that. And we believe, oh God, when we come together, woo, there's going to be an eruption of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's an eruption online. So when we come together and be together as brothers and sisters in Christ, woo, glory to God. So we thank you. As you prepare to get your seed ready, two ways to give. You can text to give, or you can cash out. Either one is fine. Lord, thank you, oh God, for those that have given today, oh God. Maybe earlier, even right now. We thank you for every tithe and offering, oh God. We pray, Father God, that it goes forth for your kingdom, for your glory, to do a mighty work. And I pray, oh God, for every seed sown, oh God, that you will put it back in their life, oh God, whatever they need. Not like not just financial, but if it is financial, bless them, oh God. But if it's peace, if it's joy, if it's wisdom, if it's love, if it's courage, whatever it may be, Father God, we just believe that the seed is sown is going to go out and do your work, and it's going to be big. And we declare it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. But God bless you all. Thank you for rocking with New Creation Church, PG and Lady Thomas. We love you all. Can't wait to see you all. Take care. And we look forward to Father's Day next weekend. So if you know a father, bring them on. I can't wait. I'm preaching a message, the turning point. Amen. The turning point. So please, if you know a father or brother, I don't come to beat brothers up. I come to lift brothers up. Amen. It ain't about making mamas feel good on Mother's Day and tear brothers down on Father's Day. No, no, no. I want brothers to be who God has called them to be in Jesus' name and raise their children in the admonition of the Lord. So we thank you. We look forward to seeing you guys next week. Take care and be blessed.